So anyway, it was a long misunderstanding, but yeah, that's why I'm no longer welcome in the state of Delaware.
Well, that's anyway, an interesting story, Dave.
Yeah, I'll probably cut that.
You might want to start the recording soon, though, because... Oh, we're on. Oh.
Welcome to the cabin.
Yes, we're here in Wisconsin where Dave is allowed. Audio Dave.
Listeners, just so you know, Ellen and I did not authorize this cold open.
That is not what I outlined.
We did not think this was the way to start the show. But the boys vetoed our idea.
Yep. I try to plan things, guys. I try to put a nice plan together for all of us.
But tell us about Delaware. What happened in Delaware?
I've already told you that story. Let's move on.
What are we
talking about?
That's why you wear glasses now, isn't it? Okay. So we're here. Yeah, we're here today.
Ellen has a question. She's raising her hand.
Yes.
My question is, what is camping?
Ooh, what?
Philosophical.
Basically, it's staying overnight where you don't have a house or a hotel.
You're such a camping hater.
I'm not a camping hater.
I don't know. That was like pretty hateful.
I like camping. I've just rarely gone camping where it hasn't rained.
That's why we have homes. Wow. Okay, Eric. Thank you.
Next.
Mariah, you're up.
Camping is... Oh my God, this is a lot of pressure. It's just really taking in... The now. I feel like what I love about camping is you are out of your element of the day-to-day grind of life, and you just get to experience all the amazingness of outside and all the not-so-amazingness sides of it, too. Yes, Eric. I love camping.
Yeah, it's like a respite from modern life.
Oh, a respite from modern life. That was really good.
Oh, my gosh.
He had the most time to think up his definition.
As long as you don't go glamping, I love glamping. Well, glamping's fun, but camping is where you're really one with nature, right?
I'm hating on glamping. Sometimes you want to glamp. Sometimes you want to bring your foam mattress to the tent, and that's okay.
Well, what are the levels?
Actually, like, I would suggest that.
What is the line where you've officially crossed from camping into glamping? I feel like that's such a gray area.
It's totally gray. Is there a door on the structure?
As opposed to a flap.
Do you have to sleep on the ground, or can you sleep on a mattress?
Are you actually outside, or are you in an air-conditioned camper?
Yeah, do you have control over the temperature inside where you're sleeping?
Yeah, I think that's it for me.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. Let's think about it while we listen to this music.
Camping or no camping, I'm head bobbing to this baby.
Of course.
All right. So
smooth our delivery this episode.
We will get back to that. Yeah, it's our clumsiest opening yet. The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association. And this week we're featuring Vilas County, a great county, by the way, for camping.
Amazing county.
Now, the largest city in Vilas County, probably its most famous too, is Eagle River, which
That's
is a
the
phenomenal
largest town?
Northwoods destination. That is the largest town
That's
city.
That's crazy.
Yeah, about, 2,800, 3,000 people or so live in Eagle River. Great town, though. I mean, lots of cool stuff there. Now, in the 1850s, migrants from New England, mainly Vermont and Connecticut, fortunately not from Delaware, constructed wagon roads and trails through the county, a lot of which are now snowmobile trails. The logging era began back in the 1850s. The county basically known for three main things: fishing, incredible Northwoods lodging, and the scenery. Mm-hmm. I would also note, now, since Vilas County is home to 1,318 lakes.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
73 rivers and streams.
Is it the largest freshwater chain?
28 of those lakes they're part of the largest chain of interconnected freshwater lakes in the world.
Huh.
I would also add it's known for snowmobiling. It's one of the snowmobile capitals of the world.
Yes.
The Derby happens in Eagle River every year. Pond hockey, huge championships happen there, the Labatt Pond Hockey Championships. A lot of fun activities throughout Vilas County. It's really the heart of the North Woods, I would say.
I agree.
The snowmobile was invented in Vilas County. In Saner.
Saner.
And you got to get a pizza at the Saner Pub. So that's my take on Vilas County.
Love
Very
it.
Very nice.
So there we go. All right. Shall we head outside, Mariah?
Let's do it. Let's go camping.
Let's
or
do
glamping,
it.
Depending on what you're into. Okay. So obviously this summer is a different kind of summer. And, you know, one discussion I think we've had kind of behind the scenes here is how do we want to talk about Wisconsin and enjoying the state of Wisconsin in a safe way? And, you know, we get a lot of you guys asking us this question over the last several weeks, which is, where are some of the best places to go camping in the state of Wisconsin? Now, the state is full of amazing campgrounds and camping destinations. So, as always, it is really hard to whittle it down to a couple. Mm-hmm. But Eric, I'm going to have you start us off if you don't mind.
Okay. I will do one that's way out in nature and one that offers some amenities. You're still camping, but amenities are close by.
Okay.
So the first one I will say is, and I did set up a tent, I pitched a tent in the show, in Governor Thompson State Park, which is still one of the newest state parks in Wisconsin.
I've not been there. That's one that I've yet to visit.
And one of the reasons I recommend that for camping is it's so far out of the way. It's not as well known as so many other state parks, and it's kind of along the Peshtigo River. A lot of flowage is up in that area. So there's a lot of isolated areas where you can set up camp, and there's people camping near you, but they're far enough away. It's not like you're at a site and you can see the next campsite.
Well, and I don't know, when you said it's far away, so you meant like the actual campgrounds are spread out there?
Yeah, and just the state park itself is far away from so many other state parks.
That's the reason why I haven't been there yet, is because it's kind of a state park. Like you said, when you look at a map, it is out on its own in northeastern Wisconsin, which I've liked to try to hit up to in a weekend. Yeah. So I haven't yet made it there. But you're saying that's one I should definitely have on my camping bucket list.
It's up in Marinette County, which is surrounded by so much natural beauty. The Peshtigo River's right there. And you're about 15 miles off the main road, which is 141. You go down a lot of county roads and you come to the state park, and there's so many different options where you can set up camp. And there's some, you know, there's restrooms in other areas you can get to pretty easily. But for the true roughing it camping, if you're just pitching a straight up tent, you're going to build the fire and, you know, dig up the area where you're going to have that fire and everything. I would suggest that's a good place to explore it, because I suspect a lot of people who like camping have not been there yet.
There are no mosquitoes there too, I heard.
Sure. Okay. There's mosquitoes everywhere. There's probably a few buzzing around in our cabin right now.
That would be like a really smart tourism slogan to be like, we have fewer mosquitoes than anywhere else in the state, even if it's false.
Well, stay tuned for my favorite campground.
Why? Fewer mosquitoes?
All right. I'll just talk about this now.
I'll mention my other one later. It's no problem, Dave. Go ahead.
Since we're on the topic of mosquitoes, this is what I love about this park. And I know that I have been kind of cloak and dagger about this hidden gem campground that my wife and I always go to. It is the reason why I always get to go through Blanchardville and see that beautiful gem of a town. I really did not start this podcast thinking I would be so pro Blanchardville.
I think our podcast name should be Blanchardville and Other Towns.
But I figured this episode is the perfect one to lift the veil and tell you all about how much I love going to Yellowstone Lake State Park. It's the most amazing campground ever. We very rarely have a hard time finding a site to reserve there, which is why we try to keep it hush-hush. But at this point, we've got our weekends booked for this year, so you listeners, go ahead and try to take the other ones. But the reason we love it so much is the campsites are actually pretty high off the water there, and they have a bunch of bat houses that past two or three times I've gone there, I don't think I've sprayed mosquito spray once.
So the bats just eat up all the mosquitoes and kind of leave you.
And it is just perfect up there.
Ellen's face.
I did not know what a bat house was, and the fact that they're placed there
it's incredible. Wow.
You looked horrified initially.
Well, I was excuse me, a bat house?
Yeah. But yeah, it's a little bit southeast of Mineral Point, about an hour southwest of Madison, so not too far away. Yeah, I love it.
Finally shared.
I know, this is shocking. This is breaking
news.
That's
the big secret.
Send out the press release. Yeah, I'm excited that you finally shared Yellowstone Lake, because this was one I went to a couple of years ago, and it's massive. First of all, it's a really big state park. And it kind of actually reminds me of, I have not yet been to Governor Thompson State Park up in northeast Wisconsin, but I have similar feelings of them in that they're just two state parks that are not thought of as much.
Yeah.
I think Yellowstone Lake is a little bit more visited than probably Governor Thompson, just because of the location. It's in southern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But it's huge. So it is spread out. You know, like, it is easy to get around without feeling, I mean, nobody wants to go camping for the most part to run into a whole bunch of people. You kind of want to feel like you're out on your own for the most part.
And that's great there, because a lot of people come into that park for the day and they bring their boats and they hang out by the lake and everything. But if you don't want to be near those big crowds of people, you'd stay up by the sites up the hill and you can barely hear what's going on down there.
And the lake is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's much bigger than I thought. It's stunning. Like, if you want that pretty sunset picture.
Absolutely.
At Yellowstone Lake.
Well, and there are not a lot of lakes in that area of Wisconsin. So mm-hmm.
Driftless is very rare.
So I think when you come on it, it feels that much more dramatic. It's one thing to be up in northeast Wisconsin where there's a lake around every bend. But down in that area, there isn't. It's mostly ridges and, you know, valleys. And then suddenly you get into the state park and this pretty big lake opens up for you. It just kind of surprises you. It comes out of nowhere. What is that in your hands?
It's a big atlas. I had to look up where Yellowstone Lake
map?
Is.
Is that a print map? Never seen one of those.
It's a Gazette map atlas. Oh, I love these
vintage.
When I road trip. Yes.
How old and school?
Eric's really going analog map with reader. This.
Well, I had to figure out where Yellowstone Lake State Park was. I had no idea.
Right,
so it's
Grandpa.
In the northeast section of Lafayette County.
Yep.
Oh, you are just asking for it. Just southwest of Blanchardville.
Ellen with right, just cool. the subtle, subtle savage comments. I love it.
Little insider tip. When you go there, there is a very nice farm couple who sell firewood for very cheap. As you're coming in from Blanchardville, you'll run right past it. Pay them a visit. They're nice people.
Does everyone know you by name there?
Not yet.
Hey, Audio Dave is back.
You need to plug the podcast next time you go through. Be like,
I did.
Oh,
last, yeah, last time I was talking to them. Mm-hmm. They said they watched the show.
Oh, I love that.
Aww.
So you're going to get the key to the city of Blanchardville on your way to and fro.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Absolutely.
I should say village probably.
Anyway, other campsites. Sorry
very
to
cool.
cut you off with that.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? That was totally worth it. Okay. That was another big reveal.
You're so sweet. He apologizes when he cuts us off. Where you and I feel like are like, nah.
Oh, no, we're butchers
we're
on that.
Like little birds over here.
Well, I was going to suggest if you want a few amenities nearby and some additional activities for the kids, one of the places we went to, and again, this is fresh off my mind because I was in Door County over July 4th weekend a couple weeks ago, Rustic Timbers, which is a great campground near Egg Harbor off Highway 42 and a county road. It's kind of inland just a few miles. And they have, you know, campsites that are isolated. It's kind of concentric circles. So you're kind of near people, but you do have enough privacy. And then they also have some amenities for kids, like the jumpy pillows and the refreshment stands and things like that. So you can go over to where there's additional activities, but you can also be in a place where you are setting up either camp. If you want to hang out in your camper and go glamping, you can do that. But if you want to, you know, pound the stakes in and pitch the tent, you've got your own little space. And then you're also in an area where you're very close to the waters of Green Bay and Lake Michigan and all the things that Door County has to offer. So a lot of people like to stay in hotels or B&Bs or Airbnbs when they go to Door County. But if you want to camp, Rustic Timbers is a good option.
Very nice.
Obviously, all of the Wisconsin state parks are an amazing option for camping. There are technically 66, but that's including like southern and northern units, so fewer than that if you count like a full state park. But one that I think skyrockets to the top of my list in terms of state parks to camp at is Wyalusing.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people ask, where can I go to camp with a view? Now, if you want to camp there, you need to book your campsite really early. In fact, this year may be too late to get a ridge. I mean, you can still camp there, but to get a ridge view, it's tough.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if that's totally booked.
A month ago, and all I could get was Sunday through Tuesday in October.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's gorgeous though. And there, you know, there's all of the state parks, or most of the state parks have really great campgrounds, but I don't know if there's any that can compete with that view.
That is, you're on a ridge 500 feet up maybe with a view of where the Wisconsin River meets the Mississippi.
Yes.
Prairie du Chien's in the distance. It is spec-freaking-tacular.
It's so beautiful. And the hiking is, you know, the views are kind of the magic of the park, but I loved the trails. There's like these little mini falls, and there's a decent amount of topography.
There's rock formations you walk in between.
Yes. It's so cool. Also, High Cliff State Park in Calumet County. I really love that. They've got great camping there. Kohler
The sunsets
Andre,
are amazing at
sunsets,
High Cliff.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Lake Winnebago. Mm-hmm. I also really love Kohler Andre State Park. I've mentioned that park here on the podcast, and one reason I love it so much, my boyfriend and I took our dogs there. They've got it's just unique with all the sand dunes, and it's right there on Lake Michigan. So the beach there is really, really nice. That's a very popular camping destination. So I don't know if you're going to be able to get away from people. Your campsites are right next to one another. But if you really do want to get away from people, there are, and I know some people, they ask me, like, I don't want to go where it's popular. Go look up the list of Wisconsin state parks, because there are some on there that I hadn't even heard of until a few years ago. And I would go visit them. You literally have the entire park to yourself. You're going to know which sites these are. It's obviously, it's not the Devil's Lakes of the world. It's not going to be the High Cliff State Park. But there are some really cool spots that are just, you get there, it's like there's three or four people at the entire state park. That's insane. So obviously state parks, and also if you want slower type of camping or quieter camping, county parks too. Don't forget about county parks, because there's a lot of great campgrounds there, or state forests. The Shequamigan-Nicolet National Forest is a massive section, a massive forest across the Northwoods of Wisconsin.
I've gone camping in Bayfield County somewhere. We were 20 miles from anywhere in our campsite. And it was a great experience, although I'm pretty sure a bear, not like the baby bears Abby was talking about last week, like a large bear was just outside our tent, because I saw the shadow and I could hear the breath. And I'm like, oh, this is how it ends. But no, it was fine.
Yeah, and I also, just on the topic of remote camping, Rock Island State Park. It does not get more remote than that.
Yeah, if you want to be one with nature,
that's your space. That's
that
your spot.
Is the place to
for
go.
Sure. I mean, so you take a ferry to get there, but there are no businesses or organizations or civilization
there's no
there. There's no electricity there. It's just you and whoever, what other campers are there on site. So you got to pack everything in that you want to bring, your food, the wood, everything that you need. You've got to bring it over to Rock Island State Park, and it's just very rugged. And I think that's what's special about it, is you're not going to find a lot of human made anything on the island. So Rock Island is off of Door County. So a lot of people know of Washington Island. Rock County is a smaller island southeast.
Rock Island is
northeast of Washington Island.
Northeast. Okay. So,
basically, if you island hop off the edge of the Door County Peninsula, you have those like tiny little islands right at Northport. And then you have Washington Island, the big one. You can ferry to that. And then you could drive across Washington County, and then you have to ferry to Rock Island, but you can't bring your car in there, and you don't need to because there's no roads.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's for one type of camper, and I want to do the opposite. And
that's for the hardy.
That's for the hardy, and I want to talk a little bit about glamping too, because some of us, you know, aren't.
Because there is no glamping on Rock Island.
No, it'd be really tough to glamp there. Yeah. But there are some really cool options in Wisconsin for glamping, and I think one of you brought up Bayfield County about a minute ago.
I did.
So there are some really cool yurts in Bayfield County. I believe there's at least two that you can rent on Airbnb and I believe VRBO. I want to say like $60 or $70 a night probably. Amazing views of, I think they're technically in the Shequamigan-Nicolet National Forest. That's a really hard forest name to say fast.
Shequamigan.
But so the thing here, it's glamping in that you're in a yurt. However, I will warn you, it's a hike to get to the yurts. We took our camera crew in there, and I think I had to bribe our camera guys to take us up there, because it happened to be January when
you
we shot
carry
that.
The gear, right?
I did carry January. The gear. I did carry the gear. It was winter, and you can't, like, we were able to take a snowmobile halfway, but then we couldn't even take the snowmobile further. We had to walk.
This sounds pretty arduous.
Wow.
Yeah, so I say, you know, it's kind of glamping, but the route there, once you're in, they say, like, literally in the Airbnb description, it says, once you're there, you're not going to want to leave, so bring everything you need and just camp out there. But it's so cool.
Sounds like it's hard to leave, because it's hard to get there.
Yes. Another glamping, taking us back to Vilas County. I think you guys are going to love this one. Have you heard of the Pod Up North?
No.
Okay, go Google this. It looks like a spaceship in Arborvitae.
Don't Google if you're driving.
Don't Google if you're driving. Yeah, don't do that. But it is the coolest, most unique vacation rental. It was actually featured on Extreme Homes National TV show back in 2003. But it's in the middle of the woods, and you actually have private access to a 60-acre lake with a great little beach. So, and obviously really amazing fishing in Vilas County, like, you know, pointed out, Eric. But if you want something different and unique, and I find that travelers are looking for that more and more. They want probably things for the gram. They want a cool shot for the Instagram. Or they just want to experience something different. And it doesn't get any more unique and different than a spaceship-inspired pod.
This is really cool.
Isn't it crazy? Yeah.
Sounds like a themed hotel room.
Kind of.
But it's in the wood. Okay.
It's crazy. They describe it as eccentric, and I would say that is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like a glamping situation.
It's totally glamping.
Well, what are some real big tips we want to share about camping now?
Okay, I have some pro tips. One for sure, the big one, pack in, pack out. That is like everyone in the camping community who take it seriously.
Leave
it's like
no trace.
Leave no trace. Yes. And that is big. I mean, that's really frustrating when you go anywhere and there's just, you're out there to experience the beautiful outdoors and you see a bag of Cheetos laying on the ground. Mm-hmm. So make sure you pack everything out. I mean, I know everyone in Wisconsin likes to have a good time, but that doesn't mean you can't, you know, clean up after yourself.
Yeah. You got to be responsible when you party.
Speaking of, make sure when you go to sleep at night, I made this rookie mistake, you put everything away.
Oh, boy.
I see raccoon skunk story hee hee. Why don't you fill us in on that, Mariah?
I had like one too many Mike Card lemonades or something. And I climbed in my tent. Jackson and I were camping at Wyalusing State Park, and he's a deep sleeper. I'm not. And we had his dog with us. And in the middle of the night, it sounded like the biggest fight. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was like bears outside my tent.
Oh, boy.
I'm like trying to shake him. He's just like not getting up. The dog's not even reacting. So I have zero protection. I'm open up the flap of the tent to see raccoons scatter everywhere. Jackson finally wakes up. He says he thought he saw a skunk. We were both idiots and left our Reese's peanut butter cups out on the thing. And the raccoons had the best dinner and dessert of all time.
Whoops.
But obviously make sure you put all your stuff away at night. They will get it. And it will terrify you at 3 a.m.
So you didn't leave out burgers or steaks. You left out Reese's peanut butter cups.
I remember picking up Reese's wrappers all around my campsite the next morning. Like, what was I thinking? Of course they're going to get that. Yeah. So, but it was really terrifying to wake up. Like, you don't know what animal's out there and you're too scared.
Yeah, it's part of camping. You better expect nature is in your full
They're just like,
effect.
The noises raccoons make when they're all fighting for the Reese's peanut butter cup is like a horrible sound audibly. It scars me. Okay. So you have to make, if you're going to car camp, because we didn't talk about car camping. Uh-huh. I'll go car camping. Sometimes Jackson and I will go and he'll take the tent and I'm like, I'm taking the car. And I'll make what I call a snuggle wagon, where you have to bring your memory foam and put it in the back of the Subaru or whatever car you're taking. And it is heaven.
Nice.
Yes. I'm really good at making the world's perfect snuggle wagon. I bring my pillows and everything.
That's
so
glamping at that.
That's totally glamping. Yeah. I don't deny it. Sometimes you just need a good night's sleep. All that hiking you do during the day.
Yeah.
It's true.
Fair enough.
Don't forget your dork light.
Is that beer?
Please tell me what that means.
Okay, dork light?
A dork light is a headlamp.
Okay.
I call it a dork light because you look like a little dork when you got your little light on your head.
I think you just look like a camper.
So that's not the official term.
No, I call it that. I always say
you capitalized it on the notes.
Oh,
you said it like it was something we should all be aware of.
Don't forget your dork light. Yeah. You can pick up a 24 pack at the gas station on the way.
Yes, of course, my dork light.
Come on, like with the little dork light on, that's a perfect name for it. REI is going to be like, can we please trademark dork light, Mariah? Like that was genius. Okay, fine, REI, since you asked. Okay, speaking of Reese's too, make sure you bring your Reese's for your s'mores, not just Hershey's. Duh. And
I had someone this past weekend roast a bunch of marshmallows, maybe like 6 or so marshmallows. And instead of putting them on s'mores or eating them plain, they mixed them up in a bowl and then ate it like it was queso dip with little bars of Hershey's chocolate.
Oh,
I was like, that's different. Oh,
that's another way.
But then
another
once it hardens.
Oh, it was terrible to clean.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's the issue there.
Mm-hmm. Well, s'mores are one of the best foods ever. So, yeah.
My last pro tip is be a good neighbor. Not sponsored by State Farm.
Wow.
We definitely don't have the rights to
probably don't have permission for that either, but okay.
You want to be a good neighbor because a lot of the campgrounds we've mentioned too are, you know, campsites are really close. And mm-hmm. I've actually, like, that's one of my favorite parts is meeting other people. But some people are kind of lights out at 10. Some people are like, you know, the Wisconsin party until, you know, through the night. So you want to be a little conscious of that there are different types of campers around you. So be a good neighbor.
That is very true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our sponsor, our inside sponsor this week.
Not State Farm.
A little different. We're plugging a great rerun of Discover Wisconsin. It's on this weekend, and it's all about Janesville. So this is an episode, you, Mariah, and Marie. You're checking out parks and trails, the ever-evolving downtown area, and you're basically just seeing what the city's been up to lately.
Wisconsin's Park City, with one of the coolest downtown renovation stories in Wisconsin, I think. They've got an amazing downtown, and just the transformation over the last 5 years, I think, has been incredible.
Really? Do you
Yes. tell. So just, actually, Marie does a little bit more of the downtown trekking in this show. I was a little jealous because she got to go into some shops that are still on my list. But it's just, you know, Rock County has had a little bit of a rough background with the closing of GM, and just, it was a very kind of stagnant downtown growth for a long time. And over the last 5 years, just, there's some really cool foodie destinations that you're going to see in the show. There's some really fun boutiques that are in the episode that were not there 5 years ago. Obviously, some fun bars and restaurants. There's a really great farmer's market right there on the main drag in Janesville's downtown. I also do glass making.
Oh, cool.
In this episode. And I brought my high school friends to this boutique, the shop in downtown Janesville. And I love that. Doing things I've never even done before.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was a little nice. Glass artist. So very cool city.
Janesville does have a pretty sizable downtown. It's a big city. It's 50 plus thousand people. It's the county seat of Rock County.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, I learned how to eat with chopsticks in Janesville.
You did?
Yeah, we were at a...
giving you some cultural
Chinese restaurant,
there.
Asian fusion restaurant, or something, and that's where they taught me how to eat with chopsticks.
That is your memory.
Those little goofy little things you remember about places.
Yeah,
where you go.
That's so great.
But yeah, so that's on this weekend. You can stream it, of course, anytime too on YouTube, discoverwisconsin.com, Apple TV, Roku.
Just search for Janesville on YouTube.
Yeah, basically.
There you go.
And so make sure you check it out this weekend. I heard that.
Was that a grunt?
No, Dave
He's
cleared
clearing
his throat. Audio Dave cleared
his throat.
He didn't get back far enough, but that's okay.
This is a big moment.
Do we need to do this again?
Audio Dave.
You are about to be the feature, so he was doing that.
Getting ready.
Are you dreading it or loving it?
Yes.
I can't tell. Yeah. Okay, well, 2 weeks ago, we had our senior editor, Sam Troes, on, and he lifted the curtain on the world of post-production. Today, we're going to dive even deeper with our very own Audio Dave.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay, Dave!
Did you practice that?
Welcome to the cabin.
Yeah.
Wow, it's such an honor to be here, guys.
Yay! Let's talk. I cannot believe we've gone this long without talking to you about your job. What the heck?
Well, I've been here. Ask away.
Okay. Well, first of all, why audio? What is it about audio?
Ooh,
that pulled you in?
What made it ring a bell?
Well,
that was a stretch, Eric.
Sorry.
It's very good. So I guess I got into audio because, I mean, I've always been playing in bands from middle school up through college just for fun on the side. And something that always intrigued me was whenever we would get to record or play live, I just loved looking at the boards and all the knobs and just being fascinated by how anyone makes sense of all that. but it was never something that I really imagined myself doing. I have a very, you know, it's just the classic story of go to college to become a doctor, do a complete about face, and end up doing something completely different.
You didn't make it to medical school first, did you?
No.
Okay.
In the couple years off I took between UW and applying to medical schools, I took some time to start working. I was playing in that band and had this realization that I was good at science. I did pretty well at it, but it never really grabbed me. So I figured I would rather do something that I was passionate about. And that was always music and recording. So
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, it, what you just said sort of revealed, I think, the reason why I have so enjoyed the people that I've worked with over the last 7 years since I came into the production world, which is this is a group of people, by and large, who decided to do what you did, which is follow their passion.
Mm-hmm.
They're here because they want to be here, not because of any other reason. And I think when you surround yourself with people like that, I mean, it's just, I think that's a big reason why we do have so much, how could you not have a lot of fun? But I mean, there are a lot of, even in our hardest moments or hardest points of the season or the stressful parts, like we at the end of the day, just really love the work and the creative and those,
yeah,
the details. And
even when you get bogged down by deadlines and stuff, at the end of the day, you're creating something and you're it's getting so fulfilling. To,
and sometimes when you're hearing the same thing 20 times in a row, trying to adjust it or EQ it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can get.
I mean, audio, I think what was interesting coming here with no production experience was that was the most mysterious part for me. I know you just wrote an article for our company website about audio being the unsung hero, which it 100% is. People do not realize what bad audio can do. Maybe they realize that a little bit more, but when it's good, like you, when you're doing your job really well, people aren't going to notice. And that's got to be a very humble part of what you do.
Yeah. I mean, exactly like you said, I strive to have nobody know I did anything.
That you exist.
And so, yeah, when people don't understand what it is I'm adding, then that's kind of a good thing because you didn't have to worry about that. I worried about it and made it sound natural.
And made it sound natural and plussed it. Like even the moments, like hosts, I've come to really, first of all, the first person I knew I needed to appreciate when I came here as a host was the editor because they are going to make me either more awkward or more funny. And then, but then right next to that person is you. You know, I'm just thinking of, we talked about the Whitewater episode where you were already naturally, Eric, I'm talking to, was really funny naturally on camera. But then Dave, you just made him even better.
Yeah.
And the gulping.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we do what we do. It's like, you know, it's all one big team. Nobody's pulling the wagon by themselves. It's all of us kind of like, let's all make this together.
Yeah, kind of adding that punchline of drop all the other sound effects. After Eric's been told this scary story of this witch in the graveyard, and all you hear is him sipping his beer and
playing that up.
Yeah.
But the mind works by ear.
Mm-hmm.
People always say a picture is worth 1,000 words. And of course, pictures and television are important, but the mind works by ear. I mean, podcasts are really popular for a reason, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you can smooth out the sounds and augment certain things, that's what really highlights the senses when somebody's checking out a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes, and I've felt this way, that even us internally and a lot of other shows overemphasize the visual. But I think you're absolutely right, Eric. It's like the audio is what's going to really make that viewer or listener, fan, remember. Like helping you add that exclamation point of audio, it's like, that's what's going to get them to like retain that information, which is what we want them to do when they're watching our show.
Yeah, and it can make a scene more believable, or you can see, I think I used this example in that article, but you can see visuals of a crowded farmer's market or something like that. But to really get across what it feels like to be there, you have the sounds of the crowd around you and the sounds of the town and everything that really transports you there.
Adding sound or surround sound without them actually having surround sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the process then. Like at what point are you even brought into Discover Wisconsin? Like take a single episode, for example.
Sure. So I actually don't see any of the episodes until they're pretty much done. It doesn't get to my desk until picture is locked, timeline is locked, all the shots have been picked out and everything because they don't want me sound designing something that's going to get switched out later. So I actually am lucky enough to see mostly polished products, and then I just get to add a little bit at the end. So do you want me to get into the nitty-gritty
of
what I do?
Just the gritty.
Okay. So basically, when I get the show from the editor, first thing I do is just organize everything I have into basically four layers that go into a final mix. And so I prepared just this little bit from the Door County show this season.
And the entertainment scene here? Unparalleled. Blending the historic elements of downtown with some good old-fashioned nostalgia, Cherry Lane's Arcade Bar is a great spot for the entire family.
My husband, he's been a pinball collector for a long time.
So without being able to see this, I'll explain that this scene was an arcade bar.
It sounded like a Greek wedding.
And the thing about this scene was when it came to me, there were no sounds from that location that I had to work with. And I didn't want it to just be music and dialogue because partially the VO is very clean and her interview was recorded there with the background noises. So I kind of had to bridge the gap between those two. And so I really built out all of these layers. And so I guess I start with the background layer is just giving you that sense of space. So here is the backgrounds. So that's just a recording of an arcade.
That wasn't what was actually the background sound
that
was shoot.
Yeah. And so then there were all these people playing air hockey and pinball and pool and bowling that were on screen but had no sound. So I had to go in and individually for every little puck bounce of the air hockey and everything, add in the second layer, which I call hard effects, which is basically sound effects that match some kind of action on screen.
You had to add all that in?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Oh, bless you, Dave. Bless you.
And so that all matched the action on screen. And once you add the dialogue and the music back in, you end up back at...
And the entertainment scene here? Unparalleled. Blending the historic elements of downtown with some good old-fashioned nostalgia... Cherry Lane's Arcade Bar is a great spot.
So I don't have as much time as many people get to work on TV shows of this length. And so sometimes when I first start a mix, I will just pick one scene like that scene where I'm going to focus a lot and really make that stand out. And that was one that I was pretty happy with.
So 22-minute episodes, how much time do you get to audio correct, audio design that episode?
Usually I work on one episode in... around 20 hours.
Wow. Okay.
And that's spread out over maybe 3 days.
Three, four days, yeah, in between other projects.
And how sick of my and Eric's voices are you?
Not sick at all.
No, that was so sweet.
Well, considering I've also done Discover Wisconsin Radio and all that, you probably...
Yeah, no, I don't get sick of it.
And the podcast.
And the podcast.
That's a thing where... I mean, I know, Ellen, you brought up how crazy I must be listening to the same thing over and over again. But that's the thing is I'm listening to different things every time I play it again. So
yeah, that makes sense.
One time I'm listening to how this compressor is hitting the dialogue. And the next I'm listening to how well the music is ducking below the dialogue. And
thank God you don't share a cubicle with anyone.
Yeah.
That would be the worst.
I literally wrote in this outline, how do you listen to something over and over and over and over again and not go insane? Because I've sat in your office.
Yeah.
And I've listened to you play something like 4 times in a row, and I'm like, play it again. I'm going to lose my mind.
I understand that, though, because I've never audio designed, but from an editing perspective, when you're in the zone, and like you said, uh-huh. you are listening for something really particular, you're not thinking about like the content necessarily.
Yeah.
You're just like listening for that weird S that you're trying to get rid of or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
I could see where you'd be in the mode. But yeah, anyone who's standing behind him or in the vicinity, that's maddening.
Yeah, and I've had people listening in who will comment on what the interview that I'm playing is, what they say in the interview. And
Like, isn't
sometimes
that funny?
Sometimes I listen to the sound of their words, but don't actually process the content of what they're saying.
Your ear is crazy. And I'm wondering, when you watch other content, are you like the world's most annoying person to watch anything? Because are you just listening for...
I've gotten pretty good about holding my tongue.
I don't believe it.
But there's sometimes when I'm watching a movie with my wife and I will have to pause and be like, listen, when they close that door. When they close that door, the sound effect that they used must have been recorded on set, because you can hear someone talking in the background, even though there's two people in this scene.
So those old Japanese Godzilla movies where they're really out of sync.
Yeah.
Those must drive you crazy.
Yep.
I have to ask, is there a time when you got something from the field or a show brought to you and you're like, there's no way I'm going to be able to work with this scene or this interaction, this interview?
I think I know what you're going to say.
Yes. I think listeners probably also remember the discussion about the mushroom
fungus.
Hike.
Fungus
Among Us. Yeah, when I just got camera audio,
that was rough.
Had to back to that later after I had regrouped and
that was
gone to the bar.
I know. I think when we were telling that story in a previous episode, when the producer first told me, I was like, good luck telling Dave that we don't have mics.
It was a tense day in the office. I remember. Like, yeah.
Garden.
Yeah.
Garden Ellen's mind.
Talking it was like to D-Day. Andy and Andrew, and they were like, we didn't have mics. And I was like, you didn't have mics?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like we've mentioned, I'm very passionate about what I do, and I like it to be great.
We love that about you.
You know, it's funny because sometimes I've gotten a chance to preview an episode of a show where final audio hasn't been mixed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you watch that, you know, and I start noticing, you know, being on radio, I notice that too. And I'm like, oh, geez, this sounds weird. This sounds weird. And then it comes out on the other end after you've gotten your mitts on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this polished
gem. That's
so true.
I've never liked a show that I've watched that has not yet been audio designed. Because like you said, I get to see a lot of them before they get to you, and I'm so critical.
Yeah.
And I, in my head, I have to say, I know this is going to be better. I know this is going to be better. But we haven't talked about music. I mean, that is another big part of your role too. And that's a game changer. I know a lot of the producers will initially pick out music, but I used to, back in the day, I would review all the shows without any music in them. And it is so hard to love a program of any kind.
It can really set the tone.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what you do is, it is underrated and it's such a game changer. Like, it'd be funny to put out like a before and after like video just to see here's what you got, here's what you turned into, voila.
Yep. Yeah, because I mean, when we're out in the field, there are only so many constants that you can have control over when you're recording these interviews and stuff like that. And half my time is probably dealing with stuff that we just couldn't control. Crowd noises, wind, cicadas are the bane. So the problem with cicadas is their frequency range sits right in the same range where the human voice is clear and you can understand it well. And so if you completely get rid of that spectrum, all of the audio sounds terrible. So yeah, cicadas, oof.
They suck.
And there's one thing we do whenever we do a shoot for a little while, if like we're inside a bar or even in a nature area, we all have to be really quiet and record for about a 30 seconds to a minute.
Yep.
They call it nat sound, natural sound.
Or room tone.
Room tone,
and that allows you to blend the normal natural sound with anything else that happens. It's just part of the fascinating nature of what you do.
It always feels really awkward in the field when we do that at a bar, and we're all just like staring at one another and people are looking at us like, is that how they film?
It's the one time everybody's quiet and awkward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep, just got to take it in. Well, what's your so I asked you, like, you got, you know, the Fungus Among Us walk that we referenced in a previous episode was really a challenge.
Yeah.
What's like your dream segment to get on your lap when you're like, yes, I cannot wait to sound design this?
I think, I mean, Sam kind of touched on it, that portion in Whitewater when we kind of became a horror ghost hunter show.
I'm shocked you didn't say birding, by the way. I thought you were going to. We know how much you love birding. But yes, the haunted segment.
Yeah, that was so much fun just because there are so many strange sound effects out there that just give you this sense of unease. And usually I'd see those online and I'm like, well, I'll never get to use that. But that was a really fun opportunity to kind of use those strange sounds to accent
A nice eerie feel to the episode.
Yeah.
And you must love recording voiceover with a talent.
I do.
Not good.
No, I actually do. I know sometimes I'm a little more critical of you guys than you would like me to be.
When you watch, when our listeners are watch our Best of Season 33, Part 1, in the bloopers, you see Dave and I attack one another unknowingly. We didn't know.
Yeah.
They asked me to do an impression of you, and I said, I was like, this audio isn't good enough. And then...
That's exactly what I sound like.
Like Valley Girl meets audio designer.
Yep.
And then you, which the way they edit it is so funny, because it's like me giving him a little bit of crap, and then right after that, he comes on camera and goes... Well, the host can't say certain words. Like, Mariah can't say rural.
You just did.
Well, I had to really think about
rural,
it. In
it's
my
a
head,
tough word.
Like, it trips you up.
I hate it. I hate saying that word. And when they write it in the script, I'm like, can't we say bucolic? I can say bucolic.
You don't like rural. Marie hates saying itinerary.
They're tough.
So, yeah, they're just
ancient. I got a lot of crap for the word ancient. I said it wrong my whole life until I came to this job.
How'd you say it?
I was in the middle of voiceover and they're like, are you saying ancient, A-N-G. Oh. And I was like, yeah, that's the word. And they're like, no, there's no G. So anyway, so yeah, voiceover is obviously, well, I was going to say, we spent a lot of time on like the audio design, mm-hmm. the fun part, but there's so many other elements. There is audio design out in the field too. I know we don't get to do as much of that with Discover Wisconsin because of how fast paced we are.
Yeah.
But voiceover is obviously a big part of it. And probably half or so of the commercials that you see during Discover Wisconsin were probably audio designed by Dave.
Oh, probably.
Another fun fact.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anything else? Any closing remarks from you, Audio Dave?
Well, here's a fun little audio nugget. So Mariah was making fun of me for my love of bird noises.
Teasing.
teasing, yes. I do like to add a lot of nature sounds to certain segments the mics we use are designed to really pick up clean dialogue. And sometimes when we're in these very beautiful areas with a lot of nature around, they don't pick up on that. So I get to add it in post. There is one recording of birds that I have been using in probably a quarter of all episodes I touch.
Wow.
Maybe.
Spilling a trade secret here.
Yeah, maybe about 20% of shows get this looped recording of birds that I actually recorded. What's the bridge in
Tiffany Bottom, Rock County, Beloit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
We were there shooting a commercial, and that was actually on my birthday, that shoot was.
Oh.
And it was just so clean and quiet out there. And I got this beautiful recording of so many birds waking up in the morning because it was an early morning shoot. And those birds are in a lot of episodes.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know they were from that shoot.
Yeah.
And you really were running around getting audio the entire time.
Yeah,
he's not kidding when he says he's, yeah. Awesome.
It's a great place to get sounds. It's a beautiful place. Really, the Tiffany is. Stone Bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. So everything you hear was probably there on purpose. And if it wasn't, and if it was a mistake, sorry.
All right. Well,
do we have to give you the audio sting of you walking out the door, or do we not do that for this segment? That's the real question.
Interview Dave will leave.
Okay. There he goes.
All right.
Bye, Dave.
Well, how was your time with Interview Dave?
He was great.
He was cool.
Very enlightening.
Cool. A little weird, but, you know, pretty
yeah,
cool.
I've heard that about him. Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't talk about people behind their backs.
Never.
Good.
Audio Dave. So, all right.
Oh, my gosh. We're wrapping up episode number 25.
Yeah, it's really getting up there, isn't it?
Wow.
A good age. I enjoyed 25. Crazy. Okay, so we have come a long way, and we've learned a lot since we launched the Cabin Podcast back in February. That feels like forever ago.
Yeah, it does.
Pre-pandemic. Oh, my God. Life was so different. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. We love your support. We love seeing your reviews and your recommendations. Honestly, this was, I know I've said this before, but this was such a bit of a pipe dream for us for so many years, and to see that you guys are not just listening, but you're loving it and you're chiming in and you're sharing it, that really does mean the world to us. So please continue to love it.
And please continue to share it.
Yes, please continue to share it. If you have a topic or any questions that you would like to ask us, be sure you can leave it in the review, or you can join our official Facebook group Around the Campfire with Discover Wisconsin, and we will chat with you there.
All right, as we wrap up episode 25, once again, thank you for joining us. I hope you have some camping inspiration now from what we talked about earlier, and you continue to get outside and explore this great state we call home, especially this summer. Nice warm summer we've got going here. Now, this is usually the part where Ellen lets me know what's going on next week, but she's keeping it a secret.
Ooh.
For some reason.
Intrigue.
Mysterious.
So you'll have to tune in next week for when we all find out what our latest campfire conversation will be, and we'll do another dive behind the scenes.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Audio Dave. Produced by me, Alan Fallon, and Dave Janis. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
In need of an updated space for their 5th through 12th grade students, the Johnson Creek School District made the decision to take a sleek, safe, and modern approach to revamping their facilities.
4 years ago, we had the opportunity to build a new building and chose the monolithic dome style, safer for weather incidences, more energy efficient because it's completely concrete.
The school's unique design is comprised of five interconnected monolithic domes, the first of its kind in Wisconsin and the second full-dome school in the Midwest.
We have stem walls, as you can see behind me, and that gives us an opportunity to bring in natural light straight into every classroom.
Adding to the efficiency and flexibility of the dome-style classrooms, the interior walls can be rearranged and moved to work with each learning space. The spherical structures ultimately cost 20% less than building a traditional school. The city hopes that the benefits of a safer, more sound structure, along with better energy efficiency, will help the district from an operational cost standpoint well into the future. And now you know your Wisconsin.